One of the great sources in understanding the New Testament is the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures around 200 BC. It's important to read the Septuagint along with the Hebrew Bible, for it opens up many avenues of understanding. To give a few examples, in Psalm chapter 40, we have the deliverance that the psalmist is speaking about of something that happened in his life. And in the midst of that, he tells the Lord that what he really wants is his heart, not simply religious worship. He says, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired." But then he says, "Oznayin karatali, my ears you have pierced. Whole burnt offerings and offerings concerning sin you have not asked for. Then I said, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written concerning me to do your will, O God, is my delight, and your Torah is in the midst of my inner being." It is significant that what he's really saying is, you have pierced my ears in that you've opened my ears to hearing your word, and then I've come to do what the Torah says, and that is to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to fulfill it, to do your will. And the other possibility from the Hebrew is that a slave in Exodus 21 would have an awl put in his ear, making himself a perpetual slave to his master. We could have either thought here, but we're looking at, you want me either to really serve you as my master, and to open my ears to you, and to love you and obey you, and I've come to do that. That is the Hebrew. The Septuagint, though, is very interesting because it's quoted in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5. It's in the context of the writer of Hebrews setting forth the coming of Jesus Christ into the world to do away with the sacrificial system once for all. He says in verse 5, as he records and quotes the Septuagint, "Wherefore coming into the world," that is, Jesus coming into the world, says, "sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, soma de carte catertissomoi." The Septuagint took the phrase, "my ears you pierce," Oznayin karatali, to "a body you prepared for me," soma de carter catertissomoi. My understanding is that the Septuagint is probably giving a translation more in a dynamic sense, that if you're ears are open, then you give your body to serve the Lord. And so they give that translation, which the writer of Hebrews then is applying to the body of Christ, who has come to replace all the bodies of animals that were being offered in a sacrificial way, because now he, by bringing his body, has done away once for all with the sacrificial system. And so the writer builds on that and says, "Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you prepared for me," the incarnation of Christ. "Whole burnt offerings and offerings concerning sin you have not desired. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written concerning me to do your will, O God." When he says above, sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings and offerings concerning sin you have not desired nor asked for, which are being offered according to the law, So basically, that's now passé, the writer of Hebrews is saying, because of Christ's sacrifice. He goes on then to say, then he has said, behold, I have come to do your will, speaking of Christ coming in his incarnation to carry out the will of the Father. The writer of Hebrews then interprets it, he is taking away the first that he might establish the second. That is, he is taking away the sacrificial system, which is the first, that he might establish the second, which is his own sacrifice that he has offered as that which puts an end to the sacrificial system. So the writer of Hebrews then goes on, by which will we have been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So what a beautiful use of the text translated in Hebrew, showing the body of Christ as the final sacrifice for sins once for all. We can see how the Septuagint is so important in understanding this interpretation. We have a similar use of the Septuagint that's specified and found in the Gospel of John. When we look at Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, it says, Hine yaskil abdi, behold, my servant shall prosper. Yarum venisa vegevamaod, he shall be raised, he shall be lifted up, and he shall be exceedingly high. There are three verbs in Hebrew, yarum venisa vegevamaod. And I believe this is looking at the resurrection of Christ at his ascension and at his session at the right hand of the Father, or a cluster of verbs simply looking at his glorification. It is interesting, in the Septuagint, there are two verbs used to describe the three verbs in Hebrew. Hupso thesetai, he shall be raised, and doxas thesetai, he shall be glorified. And when we come to the Gospel of John, the Lamb of God is going to be lifted up. And it is exciting to me to think that John is thinking out of the Septuagint. When Jesus is recorded as saying that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, hupsothenai, be raised. The word hupsao is the same verb used in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 13. It is my understanding that Christ, having used this very verb, and then the writer of Hebrew, or the writer of John, using this, is pointing back to the suffering servant, who is to be raised up in the resurrection and in glorification, as well as upon the cross. A double meaning. Can we say the cross becomes the route to glory? Passion being the route to glory. We are told also, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Jesus Christ speaking again about his crucifixion and his ascension, and the fact that when that would happen, all peoples, Jew and Gentile, would be drawn to him. A use of the verb hupsao, used again in chapter 12 of the book of John, to describe this great event of the cross and the ascension of Jesus Christ. But then, the word doxazo is also very significant, and it's closely tied with what happened in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For example, in chapter 12 again, Father, verse 28, glorify your name, doxasan. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified, and again I will glorify. So here we have the use of doxazo, and that will continue into chapter 13. At the Last Supper, when the Lord sends out, or when the betrayer goes out to betray Jesus, after Judas leaves, Jesus says these words, now, adoxaste ha huias tu anthropu. Now is the Son of Man glorified, verse 31 of 13, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, then God will doxaste glorify him in himself, and immediately doxaste he will glorify him. It is significant that that verb occurs repetitiously, looking at the passion that is about to occur that would lead to the ultimate glorification. And I cannot help but believe that John is seeing these two verbs from the Septuagint that point to the cross and to the exaltation of Jesus Christ. In the high priestly prayer of Christ, the same verb, doxazo, is used repetitiously throughout, where Jesus says, Father, the hour is come. Verse 1, doxasan su tan huyan, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Restore to me the glory that I had with you from the foundation of the world. And so this verb, doxazo, along with hupsao, I believe is seen throughout the Gospel of John to look at the exaltation and glorification of the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the cross became the route to glory.